He kind of started all the plants growing, and he started people. Well, I guess he's kind of big and fat.
He can see us whatever we do. He has such powerful eyes. He doesn't have millions and thousands and billions. And he can still see us when we're bad.
He could be sitting on the table right now, but you can't see him.
He can't be everywhere at once doing everything for everybody. Everybody can't get what they want.
Welcome to today's live broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. My name is David Stovenel. This is the 4th of August. And the title for today's broadcast is John Quincy Adams, Letters on Freemasonry, Part 7. This has been a deep dive. I encourage each and every one of you to go in and watch in the archives, watch or listen to the first 6 iterations of this particular subject matter. It's a very important subject matter, because what will transpire is in your mind you will begin being more skeptical about who it is that is being reported on and who it is that's a public figure or private figure that is making claims as to whether that person is involved in a secret society that does not have your best interest or my best interest in mind. Anyway, the overall name of this broadcasting effort is Operation Restore Christian America. Operation Restore Christian America, and my website is genuinechristianitynow.com, where you can locate the archives for the first 6 iterations and today's broadcast as well in the archives for your listening convenience. Now, beginning with some reading from the scriptures, I'm encouraging as much as possible for fathers to stand in the gap and get the interest of your children and your grandchildren as early as you can, as fast as you can, with scriptures that are written at a level that they will accept and appreciate and understand and comprehend and learn and grow from. And one of the most extraordinary of these is the first epistle of John. So I'm starting in that, in chapter 1, and I'm reading through verse 5, just to give you an example of what I would hope that you would set your children, no matter if they're 50 years of age. Because the Freemasons eradicated the Bible from the schools back in 1962, prayer and the Bible from public schools in 1962. So it's important to comprehend and realize that even people that are in their 50s and 60s and 70s now are ignorant of what is actually in the scriptures. So they go along with sending money to these people that are in the clown show. And occasionally I post different swindlers that call themselves Christians that broadcast their clownish nonsense in order to swindle you out of your work, out of your money. Anyway, First Epistle of John, chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And that's the end of the reading of the scripture for today. And I provides an encouragement for men to stand in the gap where there has been a lacking that was caused by Freemason men. Five men that were in the Supreme Court of the United States during what is called the Warren Court. You can research this work for yourself to identify the specific names, etc., of those five now known Freemasons that censored, it's a blatant, gross form of censorship that censored the Holy Scriptures and prayer from public schools. The public schools that we all pay for from taxes that are extracted from all of us through so many different methods that it's hard to list all of the different ways that the Freemasons, the British Freemasons, I should add, because the headquarters of World Freemasonry is called the United Grand Lodge of England, that's in London, England. So it's important. But anyway, this is the first epistle of John. That's a great place to start initiating or introducing people that do not know what's inside the covers of God's Bible and the people that he inspired to put these words on paper, on papyrus is what it was called at the time. These men were witnesses. And they were telling the truth in writing that's here for us to still see today. And for all English reading and speaking and hearing people, I implore you to go with, to use the King James Version only so that you do not get confused or confuse others and get in arguments over what this word that one of the socialists, Westcott and Hort, were both socialists. They were both subversive to the order, to the Christian order of living, to the society that was genuine Christianity that we're restoring. Now, on to the subject matter for today. Part 7 of John Quincy Adams' Letters on Freemasonry. At this particular period of time, it's important to read your Bible, but also get a copy of this book that is an assembly of these letters, John Quincy Adams' Letters on Freemasonry, with a long foreword by a man that's deceased now named Tex Mars. And you can order this at Rivercrest Publishing. It's easy to locate on the computer. And this is the truth about Freemasonry, what it is. It's occultic and it's vicious. If you read through these letters, you will be soundly convinced that everything about Freemasonry is bad. It is anti-constitutional. It is anti-Christian. It is anti-life. Anyway, that is a very important book that should be next to your Bible as you study this subject matter. And it's interesting that from studying this many years ago, I've came to look into the Lincoln County War more closely, and so which obviously transpired years after Captain William Morgan, who was a Freemason that was murdered by Freemasons, so he could be called a martyr or he could be called an outlaw, depending on which side of that issue you are. If you're a Freemason, obvious. If you're someone that is defending Freemasonry, obviously William Morgan is an outlaw because he told your nasty secrets about how vicious Freemasonry is in his writing. That's why he was tortured and murdered, abducted and tortured and murdered. Anyway, the call-in show number for this show is 608-433-9306. I welcome calls from Freemasons. I welcome calls from people that are not aware of Freemasonry at all and literally have very little experience in any study of the issue or the matter, but have heard the word, obviously, because it is everywhere, just under the radar in every city, basically, and it's worldwide. And once again, the headquarters is in England. So this is English Freemasonry that must be eradicated from America for genuine Christianity to flourish here, for truth and honesty and decency to flourish here. Freemasonry must be soundly denounced until it does no longer exist in terra firma, in anywhere in the United States of America. It is vicious. It is murderous. Now, so Going back to Captain William Morgan just briefly, going to the Wikipedia website, and it isn't difficult to determine that this is a website that is managed mainly by people that are pretty sympathetic with Freemasonry. Incidentally, a lot of comments are made that Freemasonry is nothing but Judaism for Gentiles. Well, that has it pretty much backwards, because Jews are Freemasons and Gentiles are Freemasons. So it's a ecumenic movement that is a political religion that is fierce, anti-Christian, and they pretend that they have very little problems with Christianity in order to draw Christians into their nefarious network of evil. Once again, the call-in number is 608-433-9306. I apologize for last week not being able to broadcast live. It was as the result of technical difficulties that are still being worked on, and we are getting improvements as we go along here. Anyway, a few things from the Wikipedia page for William Morgan, and it has in parenthesis right behind his name, anti-Mason. It doesn't say truther. It doesn't say someone that repented from Masonry. It says anti-Mason. Anyway, William Morgan, born 1774, disappeared around 1826. Now, there was a five-year investigation after this abduction and torture and murder, so the specifics on these are available for anyone that does the deep research. Was a resident of Batavia, New York, whose disappearance and presumed murder in 1826 ignited a powerful movement against the Freemasons, a fraternal society that had become influential in the United States. After Morgan announced his intention to publish a book exposing Freemasonry's secrets, he was arrested on trumped-up charges. He disappeared soon after and was believed to have been kidnapped and killed by Masons from Western New York. Now, that language right there, he was believed to have been kidnapped and killed. That is erroneous in light of what we absolutely know about what happened there for those that actually do the studying and the research work. To continue, the allegations surrounding Morgan's disappearance and presumed death sparked a public outcry and inspired Thurlow Weed and others to harness the discontent by founding the new anti-Masonic party in opposition to President Andrew Jackson's Democrats. It ran a presidential candidate in 1832, but was nearly defunct by 1835. Now, there is quite a bit of doubt and unbelief that is sown within those few sentences there. And of course, that can be traced right back to Satan appealing to Eve. Yea, hath God said. For those of you that understand, it's so important to look past Wikipedia to find truth, because this is so, it's just generalizing, it's just pedestrian stuff in terms of getting some kind of a basic idea of any subject matter on any subject, really. Anyway, to move to the military service subheading on Captain William Morgan's page on Wikipedia. Morgan told friends and acquaintances that he had served with distinction as a captain during the War of 1812, and his associates in upstate New York appear to have accepted this claim. Several men named William Morgan appear in the Virginia militia rolls for this period, but none held the rank of captain, and whether Morgan actually served in the war has not been determined with certainty. Well, that's a good bit of hath God said also, and deserves further study by anyone that would care to look further into that subject matter as to whether Captain William Morgan was legitimate in his claim. Because once again, Captain William Morgan was a Freemason up to the point where he either became a born-again Christian or his conscience still burdened him to where he couldn't carry the lies and the deceit and the murders that obviously happened before his by Freemasons. But this was the huge one of that day that was discovered and investigated very, very carefully. Anyway, further on in this, on the Wikipedia page for Captain William Morgan, it has something that is curious, both under his picture on the upper right side and also in the marriage and family section, where it has as his spouse listed as Lucinda Pendleton. And when bringing the cursor over that name, a picture of Joseph Smith manifests itself, whether it's in the actual printing or beneath his picture in the description of the basic description of where he was from and etc. Well, that's enough to be said about Captain William Morgan, the anti-Mason toward the end of his life before he was abducted and tortured and murdered by Freemasons. This is part 7 of this series, and I had in earlier iterations brought up the point that of the Lincoln County War, and I had brought up the much information about the interactions between different law enforcement agencies. Now, here's a question for each and every one of you to consider, to carefully consider. You see, the what were called the regulators, they were law enforcement officers. Kid Antrim, alias Billy the Kid, alias William H. Bonney, was a police officer. He was a law enforcement officer. So a huge question, actually two or three huge questions are, who decided that he was no longer a law enforcement officer? In other words, what's the specific on that? And another huge question, as a result of the entire subject matter of the entire seven-part series here, is, was William H. Bonney, alias Kid Antrim, a Freemason? That's the way to study this carefully, because he was, like William Morgan, he was in a form of what are called settlers. He was in law enforcement, like Captain William Morgan claimed to be, and ultimately he was killed. Whether it could be rightly described as a murder or not deserves a lot more investigation by me, because I haven't drawn a complete, absolute conclusion on that yet. But who decided that he was no longer a law enforcement officer, a cop, a police officer? And as the story goes, Sheriff Pat Garrett went into a private home, and as I remember the Constitution, actually it was in the Declaration of Independence where troops would not be quartered. But anyway, this law enforcement officer, allegedly, Sheriff Pat Garrett, allegedly went in Pete Maxwell's home in the middle of the night and ambushed an officer of the law that had somehow been declared an outlaw. So it's a very perplexing situation by any standard. And, of course, the questions are raised there. Was Sheriff Pat Garrett a Freemason? How about Pete Maxwell? What do we know about all this? And is it important to know about this? I would say it's profoundly important, because Freemasons now, worldwide, are like fleas on a hound dog's back. They're everywhere. There are a lot of Freemasons now. So it's an important question, possibly even more important than the days when street executions and people going into people's homes and waiting to ambush and kill someone instead of doing a proper arrest, an arraignment, a trial, and then carrying out the punishment as determined by a jury of peers. So, what does the Lincoln County War have to do with Freemasonry? Were they Freemasons, any one of them, all of them? Well, we know this, at least allegedly, that on July 14th, 1881, allegedly, William H. Bonney, alias Kid Antrim, alias Billy the Kid, was killed in New Mexico by Pat Garrett. That's what history has recorded and passed down to us. Whether it's true or false, it's an exercise to study these things to get a clarity about it. Or how about Dolan? Was he a Freemason? How about Tunstall, he was English. Was he a Freemason? Did Freemasonry play a big part in the Lincoln County War? Did the Freemasons gin up the Lincoln County War to get it going in the first place? Well, what about the timeline? As I said, July 14th, 1881, allegedly, Billy the Kid was killed by Pat Garrett in Lincoln County, New Mexico. 1881, the summer of 1881. Well, in 1877, John Henry Tunstall set up his, he arrived and began setting up a competitive store of the Dolan Murphy gang. And the Dolan Murphy gang were saturated with Freemasons. They were ruled over by Freemasons, and they had developed a monopoly. So there was a large amount of Freemasonic activity, whether you call it chicanery, as someone that is a critic of Freemasonry, or you call it settling the West, as a Freemason would no doubt, I should say someone that is devoted and devout to the political religion known as Freemasonry, would no doubt assert that they were just settling the West. You see, they weren't ginning up a range war. They were settling the West. They were making everything better for everybody, because that's what Freemasons do after they kill law enforcement officers by other law enforcement officers. In other words, they got the candle burning on both ends. And Freemasons, your candle is all burned out. There's no light in you. There is no light in Freemasonry. So anyway, 1881, July 14th, 1881, that's the day, allegedly, that Billy the Kid was killed. What about Freemasonry in New Mexico? Well, once again, back to the pedestrian standard version of different, many, many different, a vast amount of subject, no doubt about it. Wikipedia was one of those that was there first. Grand Lodge of New Mexico. If you look at the Wikipedia page for Grand Lodge of New Mexico, it starts with this. The Grand Lodge of Ancient Free and Accepted Masons of New Mexico is the oldest and largest of the two regular Masonic Grand Lodges in the state of New Mexico. Now remember the day, the summer of 1881. Freemasonry now. It was founded on August 7th, 1877 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And that is the Grand Lodge of Ancient, Free, and Accepted Masons of New Mexico. This was their first permanent, their attempt at a permanent Grand Lodge of New Mexico for power seeking and ginning up of warfare and climbing to positions of power that they don't deserve if it wasn't for the secrecy that they stab everybody else in the back with in order to gain positions of power and authority over Christians. That's the essence of Freemasonry, to displace Christianity in the name of this all-embracing philosophy and effort that is based and centered in good old Judeo-Masonic London, England. which is precisely the opposite of the ideals that genuine Christians hold dear, because there is no darkness in God, only light. And for born-again Christians, you try to bring light into the darkness so that people that have dark agendas and operate in darkness can no longer do so. And our numbers need to grow, and they need to grow rapidly. The call-in number is 608-433-9306. How about an anti-Mason? We got an anti-Mason that would like to call in? Or a child that may be concerned about their future. An old child. What about someone that's 23 or 24 that's been trapped by a computer and just keeps studying things and studying things and wants to emerge from always learning and never knowing? Anybody. 608-433-9306 is the call-in number. I remember when I was growing up here in Wisconsin, there was a old stone building, and it was called the Odd Fellows Hall. And to my knowledge, it was just an uninhabited old stone building. I literally did not ever see anyone go in the back door or the side door or the front door for any secret meeting. So it was, I would estimate that it was probably one of the smaller towns that had, did not have an interest in Freemasonry and was not active in the town, in our town. However, in the county, the Freemasons built a theater. And so there's a theater there that is openly acknowledges that it was built by Freemasons. And they still meet there. And we need to do everything we can to convince Freemasons to repent from all of their evil and exit from Freemasonry. Reading the four Gospels within the New Testament, within the KJV, the King James Version, this is back when the English had embraced Christianity and studied Christianity in numbers that were so widespread at that point in time that the truth went all over the earth, all over the earth. The King James Bible saturated the world. They don't believe what they once believed. They pretend to believe what they once believed. The late Queen Elizabeth II was an extraordinary actor. She pretended to be a Christian very successfully throughout her life. She was a Druid. A Druid is a pagan. A Druid is the opposite of a Christian. You cannot be both a Druid and a Christian without being mentally ill. She was inducted into Druidism in the late 1940s, and the video is available on the internet of that ceremony when she was inducted into Druidism. This is important because she pretended to be a Christian throughout her life and tolerated the United Grand Lodge of England Freemasonic nerve center of all Freemasonic agencies all over the world. And the question needs to be asked. It needs to be raised. Why did she tolerate it? Because during her lifetime, she was the flesh and blood sovereign that worshiped the god of Freemasonry, Lucifer. Lucifer, Satan, the evil one. the dark one, the violent one, the dishonest one. This clarity is important for everyone to appreciate, and as you study Freemasonry, and obviously each and every one of you that live in a city has bumped into or knows somebody that's a Freemason or has seen a sticker on a car. If you want to be one, ask one, all that nonsense. Well, ask one. Ask one if it's possible to worship two gods, if it's possible to worship Satan and Jesus Christ and not be mentally ill, not be schizophrenic. Because that's what's at stake here, is a sin masquerading as mental illness, because they're all sinners. Carrying forward a murderous operation is sinful, and each and every member is involved in that sin, because it's systemic. It's systemic. How systemic is it, is the question that arrives. Well, I'm going to give you a little information about how systemic it is. It now negatively affects everyone, specifically everyone in the United States, and generally everyone all around the world in this regard. There's institutionalized discrimination against veterans in general, Vietnam veteran, infantry combat veterans in particular. There's a form called the DD-214 that has within it, on it, what is called the SPIN code, the SPN code. And there's a code number there, and there is a list of the codes that those numbers represent. And 80% of those numbers have a description, when you go to the list, have a description that is a negative description about the actions, attitude, or personality of veterans. Now, you might say, hey, I'm not a veteran. That isn't me. That doesn't affect me. I'm just a little boy. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this started a long time ago, where this vicious, hateful, selfish discrimination, institutionalized discrimination against veterans began being perpetrated, and now it has saturated all of the major companies, all of the major businesses, the government, the secret services. It's saturated our society. Can I prove it, though? Well, sure I can. Of course I can, or I wouldn't say it. It would cost me a lifetime in jail or my life if I couldn't prove it and point you toward where the proof is. Incidentally, the list is on my website, genuinechristianitynow.com. Anyone can go there, word search a little, or they could just go to the wide open web, find it, you know, word search, SPN code numbers and descriptions or something to that effect. You can find all this out for yourself, but conclusively, there's posted on my website, genuinechristianitynow.com, in the archives. You have to search for it on there in the search bar. You should write this down, this search words here, so you remember them, because many of you, no doubt, are driving right now. Fred Smart - Injustice Exposed. I'll repeat that. Fred Smart - Injustice Exposed. What transpired previous to the interview of Edwin Crosby III, who was an Air Force veteran that was in country, in Vietnam. So he was a real veteran. He wasn't one of these people that were just stealing the valor of men that had enough dignity and courage and decency and loyalty to America to go. Well, anyway, after he returned home and got his separation papers, he applied for a civil service job. And there was a six-month trial period, and he did well during his trial period. And at the end of that trial period of work, there were three openings for positions that were permanent, so he decided that he'd take the test and apply for one of the positions. And he scored the highest of anyone that had taken the test. And he was passed over for all three of those positions. Now, all of this information is contained within the hour and a half long interview that Edwin Crosby III gave to Fred Smart. So you can study and learn this for yourself. And every single veteran needs to, and every single veteran that even has the slightest inkling of suspicion they've been discriminated against for any reason whatsoever, needs to go to my website, send me an email, and say, hey, I've been discriminated against, because I'm leading an effort to start a class action lawsuit to remedy the institutionalized discrimination against veterans, because as soon as veterans are not slighted after they get home from service, from active service, are not discriminated against, are not put away from opportunities as the result of institutionalized discrimination, then we will see the restoration of America. Because if you cannot destroy a veteran that has honor with lies and deceit and manipulation and institutionalized discrimination, you can't destroy the nation. Because the veterans are the best of the best of the best, regardless of what Henry Kissinger said. That raises a question. Was old Henry Kissinger a Freemason? I would have to guess so. He's so repulsive, I haven't really looked into his life really deeply. But anyway, Edwin Crosby III, after he was rejected from employment, said, there's something wrong here. This just is not right. And he initiated litigation to determine why he was not employed. When we were separated from the service, we were told, here's your DD-214, and show this to your employers, because there are extra points that veterans receive as a result of their honorable service to the country, to the people in the country. All right. What happened was the opposite. As a result of this code that we were not informed of what it meant, what it was, until Edwin Crosby III filed litigation and discovered that this code was I don't like to use hyperbole, but it was an eliminationism project that was obviously thought up by people that are very nasty, nasty people, that have contempt for America, that have contempt for our constitutions in the several states and the constitution for the states, contempt for the people, contempt for law and order, contempt for decency, contempt for truth. institutionalized discrimination. So I'm just saying, veterans that have been discriminated against, contact me. My email is there under the About Us button. Send me an email. We need to get in contact. I need a lot of veterans. I have set the number at 50. I need 50 veterans. Then I'll approach a man that I know has integrity. He's one of the lawyers that has not sold his soul yet and will not. A very, very upright man. So I need 50 veterans. And when I reach that goal, when I reach that number, then I will contact him and move forward. And incidentally, there is a donate button on the website. And no one is doing more for veterans than me right now in standing against this wickedness, this institutionalized discrimination. Because when the veteran is targeted, their entire family is targeted. And when every family of every veteran in this nation is targeted, that's a weakening of this nation that it's unimaginable, but that's what's going on. And it requires a certain amount of courage to even send an email, because that's how bad it is right now. These people are nasty. They're out for total power. Anyone that looks at and listens to Fred Smart, Injustice Exposed, that is a veteran, will have to come into agreement with me that we must do this to eliminate the spin code and all of the nefarious negativity that they have unjustly and unfairly stacked on top of us in order to gain power over us and positions over us, whether they be positions just in general society, in business, buying insurance for something that you feel like you need insurance for, a position at a firm that you've been working at for a number of years, and you get passed over for the promotion because there's someone else that has not been maliciously smeared with this spin code. If it had already been resolved, it would be a different story, but it is becoming exaggerated now. Now, what else is contained in this interview? Well, let me tell you what else is contained in this interview. The Republicans know about it and have known about it for at least 35 to 40 years, and the Democrats know about it and have known about it for at least 35 to 40 years. But you might ask, well, was this an investigative subcommittee that some veteran named Edwin Crosby III attended and said something about the SPN code, and that subcommittee voted that it wasn't a large enough issue, or that it would affect national security, or blah, 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 or whatever. And that's as far as it got, just a subcommittee, or maybe even just a letter to a congressman. Is that how far it went? No. Oh, no. According to Edwin Crosby III, there was a meeting that was attended by a high-ranking Republican at the same time as it was attended by a high-ranking Democrat. The Republican is no longer living. His name was John McCain. But the Democrat is still alive. Take a guess what his name is. No, I'll give you three guesses what his name is. Three guesses. I'll give you a hint. His first name is Joseph. Got it yet? That's right. Joseph Biden was at that meeting. And he has known this for 35 to 40 years, that this institutionalized discrimination, this genocidal program, and here's the way it works. This coding system does not negatively affect all veterans. So it even pits veterans against each other in that 20% are the golden boys, you know, the John McCains. And 80% are the dregs of society, according to this coding, no matter how honorable or good or right your service was. 80% genocide, 80% kicked, mercilessly kicked to the curb. But is that where it ends? Oh, no. Oh, no. There's much, 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 much more. How about this? As things had begun rapidly being transferred from paper into the electronic ether world, there... how do I phrase this? There were people that worked inside the bureaucracy. These would not be elected officials. They would be hires or appointed officials that figured out a way to extract a veteran's private information and identifier numbers and place that number in a direct deposit account under their own name or under just some other descriptor. And our Congress, bless their hearts, our Congress appropriates money for veterans care, a lot of money. Well, these nasty monsters of iniquity, whether they were Freemasons or not, is also a question. Because when dishonesty and murder and manipulation, lies, thieving get introduced into a society through some major organization like Freemasonry, secrecy, you know, it's tempting to everyone to say, well, they did it, why don't I do it? Well, anyway, so it was discovered that people that worked within the federal government figured out a way to extract the identifiers from veterans that had battlefield injuries, and they extracted, so they found a way to extract the awards, the upkeep, the monetary pension, disability pensions, to extract that from veterans into their own bank accounts. They were caught at it. I'm sure some remedy occurred, but the overall institutionalized discrimination still not only exists, but now it has metastasized as a cancerous word that is well deserved for this subject matter. Veterans, one and all, contact me, please. My name is David Stovenel. My website is genuinechristianitynow.com. I'm inviting you to participate in a class action lawsuit to bring remedy where this code is eliminated. It must be eliminated. It must be, because it's a genocidal program. It's institutionalized discrimination that now negatively affects the whole world. There is time for a phone call yet, 608-433-9306. Have no fear. Have no fear. Just dial the number. Anyway, back to Grand Lodge of New Mexico. As I said, the Grand Lodge of Ancient, Free, and Accepted Masons of New Mexico is the oldest and largest of the two regular Masonic Grand Lodges in the state of New Mexico. It was founded on August 7, 1877 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I should add that this is way, 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 way before New Mexico became one of the states of our union, like 25 years or so before, something like that. Now, reading through this description, which does have a lot of merit, it has a lot of material in it that's pretty valid. See, Missouri was already more deeply established within Freemasonry. So the temporary military Freemasonic agencies in New Mexico had a time limit, an expiry date. And they relied on communications and orders from headquarters in Missouri. And I found that to be interesting because, as we all know pretty well, even though history is ginned up in order to make certain people groups, like Freemasons, and Democrats and Republicans look better than they actually are, and the rest of us worse than we actually are. That's how they game us all with their institutionalized discrimination. But anyway, there were so tracing the tracks of the Freemasons, and of course, by the time that the United States Constitution was written, even globalist Freemasonry was already deeply entrenched in London, England, and so that's the nerve center that's farther away than Missouri. But we know that Missouri and Kansas were very, very significant. Two very significant jurisdictions or areas at a formative time of this nation in terms of warfare getting ginned up, getting accelerated as the result of disputes and differences of opinion between the slavery question. The United States, when it was founded, when after the Constitution was ratified, in all the history of the world, that was, to my knowledge to this day, and I do, you know, invite correction for this, but it was, as far as I can tell, the first step for abolishing slavery was the 3/5 clause of the Constitution. The English were slavers. They were slavers. The Americans were anti-slavery to the degree of 2/5 of the property. In other words, those great Americans made the first bold step to defy the English effort to enslave the world. Now they're doing it through Freemasonry, folks. So we have to get ahead of this curve, and we have to eradicate Freemasonry one by one. Talk to a Freemason. They aren't the devils. They're just worshiping the devil. So I've tried to describe to the best I can for today. See you next week.